Love that song, amen. I hope this morning, if you're saved, you ought to have a desire to go home, amen. Looking forward. The older I get, the more I have a desire to see that place, and I look forward to that day. Take your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. Very familiar verses, but again, just because they're familiar doesn't mean we overlook them. Go look at something very, very generalized, I guess you would say, very easily to see this morning. It's just straight out of the Word of God. But I hope we'll get a hold. First 2 points are givens. The last one's the one I really want to try to emphasize this morning, but I've got to go through the first two to get to the last one. Appreciate Wednesday night Bible study. Boy, I surely enjoyed our teaching in Genesis there, and I want to encourage you to be here this Wednesday night for that. Had a good time there. Like I said earlier, we're going to preach again this morning on missions, and preacher, why do you keep preaching on missions? Well, that's where the Lord leads, so we just find the Lord. But it's so easy to get distracted. It really is. It's easy as a preacher sometimes to get distracted. We think something's more important than it really ought to be. And sure, if I get distracted, you get distracted. We kept our little grandson last night, and he's a perfect picture. I don't remember that. I know Brother Dwayne said it before. I don't remember what movie that come off of. But I think it was that dog, you know. He'd be going this world squirrel, you know. He was easily distracted. And people are that way. It doesn't take a lot of time to get people off the beat. And it helps us to get back in line where we need to be this morning. So we're going to look at this here in just a moment. But just to refresh ourselves a little bit, because I believe this sort of ties into what we preached last Sunday morning. Tried to preach last Sunday morning over there. The Bible says some having compassion, making a difference. That's the reason we do what we do. Let me back up. That's the reason we should do what we do. I don't know what you do and why you do what you do, but we should do what we do for the cause of Christ because it makes a difference. We support missionaries because it makes a difference. These people are working. We got a good letter from Brother Dasso. Some opening doors there. It seems like God's really blessing there. So it's because it's making differences. Did Christ not make a difference in your life? Sure he did. If you got Christ, he made a difference. And he'll make a difference in your family's life. It'll make a difference in your youngins, your grandyoungins. It'll make a difference in this country if we'll just get back to the Lord. And if you remember with us last week, we used Caleb just a little bit. There with when the nation of Israel was fighting Amalek and Moses went up on the mountain. When his hands would get weary, his hands come down, the nation of Israel would begin to lose. And Aaron and Hur put a rock under it, supported him, helped hold his hands up. And that's what we do as missions at Minehead. We ought to support missions in all different various ways. And so that's sort of our mindset this morning. But here in Matthew, we have a three-part here that needs to be addressed this morning. So let's stand together. Matthew chapter 28 this morning. We're going to begin reading verse number 18 this morning. Matthew chapter 28. In verse number 18 this morning, Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Miss Lana's class was looking at that verse this morning when I walked in there. Again, the Bible says in verse 18, Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So let's pray. Father, we love you. We sure thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And God, I pray this morning, God, as we've gathered together one more time, Lord, and God, I don't know what today holds. I don't know what this week ahead holds. I just know right now, Lord, God, I stand in need. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. God, I pray that you'd encourage us this morning, God, to get back up and get in the fight. God, help us to be mindful, Lord, that there is a work that needs to be done. God, help us to see the importance of it, not just at the church level, but, God, into our homes, our families, and our individual lives, God, Lord, this morning. God, I thank you this morning for the men and women across our world today that are standing in place, God, believing, trusting, God, be in that light and that salt in this world, Lord. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to accomplish this morning. God, I pray for the lost this morning, God. I know this morning, God, it's not really a message that'll draw, I don't think, Lord, in my mind, Lord, about salvation. But, Lord, I know it takes salvation. And I pray this morning, if they would be one this morning, God. I know it's not about what I say, but, God, if the Holy Spirit would begin to work in somebody's life this morning, God, let them see, Lord, how much you love them. Let them see, Lord, how much they need you. Let them see, Lord, all they have to do is come and, God, just accept you as their Savior, Lord. I pray this morning, God, you'd save the lost. Lord, I pray for our young people, Lord, that are in their classes this morning. God, I just ask you to bless there, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do this morning, Lord. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And again, very, very familiar verses this morning. We're looking on the fact about missions. And again, missions is globally. We support worldwide missions. There's places in our world that men are not able to go out of our country today and be able to take the gospel. But I'm reminded, Brother Ree, he's leaving in June, I think he told me, heading to China. There's a good possibility he could get killed. If he's captured doing what he's doing, there's a good possibility he'll be thrown in jail. But why? He's going through China to get into Korea to take the Word of God to people that don't have the Word of God and to be able to tell them the blessed hope that he has. How? Through Christ. And that's still in our day. There's men and women around us today. They're looking everywhere they can to find hope. They're looking at all kinds of things to try to give them something they know they don't have. That they're hungry inside. They're screaming within that they need something. You might be that way here this morning. There might be something inside of you that's just gnawing at your gut this morning that you know that there's something missing. You know that there's something not right. And I want to tell you what it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need the Lord this morning. That's the reason we're looking again at missions this morning. And again, as I made reference one service that I mentioned, when you think of the word missions or missionary, again, we think of, you know, our people that go in and out, pray for Brother Rick and them there at Leavenworth, right? Miss Jude said, I think they've had five professions already, so we're excited about that. Amen. But God's at work. And again, we think about men and women that go different places. But again, the root of the word missions or missionary is the word mission. And this morning, that's what I see, first of all, this morning, that the Lord Jesus Christ has set a mission in front of us. Now, some of you guys, you are Army, military type guys, Marines, whatever. You know, if you were in combat or you were going through exercise, they gave you an objective. That is your mission. This is what you're supposed to do. We're just not out there floundering around. And that's where we need to get our mind. We've got so wide in our thinking. We've got our eyes so broadened, you know, that we need to draw our point back in. What do you see this morning? I know a lot of churches this morning, and people are so drawn to this, and I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to point out things this morning. But I believe in different aspects of missions giving in different ways. But again, what is the goal? Why are we doing what we say we do? I remember when I worked in public work way back when. We were talking about that when I was at Freightliner. How many years did we decide to go? That's been, it was a long time ago. This ISO, ISO, that's what that mess is called. It's some kind of standard, I don't remember all this. But the bigger thing was, is you say what you're going to do, then you do what you say. I remember that part of it. You make a statement, this is what we're going to do, then you do what you say you're going to do. As a church this morning, I believe that should apply to us this morning, that we need to say what we're supposed to do. What are we doing? Well, I come and soak up in a chair one week or one Sunday morning out of a week. Is that all God's called us to do? Is that the objective that we're... Why? If God has just called to save you, why are you here? If He just wanted to save us, would He not just save us and get us out of here? But that's not what He called us to do. He says, you're in an army. You've got a place and an objective. You've got something that you need to be doing in the body of Christ. Are we doing that? So the first thing that I see here in Matthew chapter 28 is, first of all, and again, these first two points are just given. Who give them? The commander-in-chief, and it's not Obama. It's God. God has told each believer this morning that we've got a mission to do while we're here. What is that mission? To reach the world with the gospel. And I said again, many churches today, and listen to me, please, you need to throw your guards up. People are being drawn away into this feel good, come as you are, you know, just live your life. Look, friend, God's not just real on Sunday. He takes great notice of every day of the week, amen. Is He your God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday too? This contemporary, this mindset of, listen, I've had this, and I don't call it arguments, I've had these discussions before. Look, if it sounds like the world, it's probably of the world. Now, I know that ain't popular our day. And people are drawing people into this stuff. I talked to a lady one time, me and my wife talked to this lady before. She went to one of these contemporary types church. Knew nothing of the Word of God. Why? Because they don't center around the Word of God. What do they center around? Music and flesh. Yes, sir. I like music. But if I had to choose between music and preaching, guess what I'm going to choose? I'm going to choose preaching. Amen. I've seen music help services. I've seen music hurt services. Yes, sir. But the Word of God, the Bible says, will never return void. The Word of God will accomplish what it's set forth to do. But our missions, what is your mission in life? Hey, mama, what's your mission? Mamas today have no ideas how to be mamas. They're letting somebody else be mama. You know what the statistics, I didn't write it down, but I've been looking at them before. You know what the statistics of today of children not being raised by their own parents? It's out the roof. Mama, God gave you a youngin' to be a mama to. What about you daddies? We got a mission. God gave you children to be a daddy to that child. But church, what about our mission? Amen. What are we here to be? And the very first thing that I see here in these verses is that God tells us we've got a mission, and that mission is to reach the world with the gospel. Amen. That is the mission. Well, preacher, what about this? Again, I mentioned these other churches, and I'm not against other areas of ministry. Listen. I've had to come in the back door to get to the front door sometimes talking to people. What do you mean, preacher? I might get starting talking about deer hunting just to get a conversation going, but the whole time I'm talking, thinking my objective is get around here. What think ye of Christ? Why? Because that's my mission. I've talked to people that's gone on mission trips. What did you do? Well, we built some houses. Well, did you give any gospel? No, we were there to build houses. Well, did you anybody preach? No, we just built houses. What's wrong with that, preacher? That's not my mission. God didn't tell me to go build houses. He told me to go preach the gospel. Now, if they'd built houses and preached the gospel, hey! Now, did them people need houses? I'm sure they did, or they wouldn't have been building them one. But that house is going to come and go.
That's right.
Their eternity is still at stake.
Yes, sir.
Again, why do we do what we do? And God here in Matthew chapter 28, it's not that hard. That's the reason I say this is such an easy message. It's not that hard. What is our objective? What is our mission? What is our goal? Is to reach the world with the gospel. So that's number one, our mission. Number two, this is a given. Not only do I see here what God wants us to do, but God is, this is so easy. Everybody, people try to make it so hard, but it's so easy. Your objective, to reach the lost. That's our mission. Number two, how are you going to do it? How are we going to do it? I think I mentioned this when I was going to therapy for my back. The lady that owns the therapy place that I was going to, she's been a Methodist, she's been a this, she's been a that. She's like a termite, you know, yo-yo, as they say. She don't know what she is, really. I mean, she's been a little of everything in religion. And I'm not saying Baptist is the way to go either. Well, preacher, it's a Baptist church. Well, there's a lot of Baptists I know today that ain't believing true. So it's not Baptists that I'm trusting this morning. But I'm saying this morning, what tickled me about this lady is, and some of you come out of a Methodist church, and the key to Methodist church, and I'm not picking on Methodist church, the key to Methodist church is their naming. They live off methods. It's a Methodist church. What's their methods? And her church are having committee meetings on how to get people to come to church. Well, that's good, preacher. Shouldn't we not want people to come to church? Well, of course. I love people. I love preaching to people. But their methods of trying to get people to church aren't scriptural methods. God says, here's your objective. This is what you're supposed to be doing. You're going to reach the world with my gospel. Aren't you glad he told you how to do it? He says, go and preach. Go and teach. That's how we're going to win them. So our mission is very simple. And it's not the preacher's mission. It's not the deacon's mission. It's the church's mission. That's every born-again believer this morning. It is your mission. And one day I'm going to stand before the great commander-in-chief and give an account of how I did in my mission. And I don't say this to be meaningful. I don't say this to be hurtful. I don't say this in a... Can you count right now how many people you've ever told about the Lord? Let me ask you this, and again, I can't save anybody, and I use this very lightly because if you're not careful, it becomes, look what I do or what you do. Have you ever led anybody to the Lord? I'm not asking you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass you. Would it not be God has commissioned you to do a job? He says, get out there and do it. He's given you everything you need to do the job. And then one day, you're going to stand before him and he says, is the job done? He already knows. What have you done with the talent God's given you? Did you hide it? See, there's a mission. And then there's a method to getting the mission done is to preach and to teach the gospel. Gospel, gospel, gospel. Preacher, can't we do something else? No, that's what God told us to do. And we need to be busy about the work of God. We need to be getting after the objective. We need to be constantly looking at how we're going to do it. Look, preacher, man, if we get a band. But is that going to save people? Is that going to glorify God? Will they sing about him? Old Willie Nelson sang about him too, but I ain't real sure he was singing in the right way when he was drunk doing it. Well, you know, let's go on a mission trip and feed people. People need to eat. Yeah, but if we went to Peru, we fed a lot of people. And the whole time we was feeding them, we was handing them gospel tracts. The whole time we was feeding them, we was getting to preach to them. Yes. There's a method. This is how we're going to reach the lost. And then this is the main one this morning. I see here again, there's a mission. We got to reach the lost. I see there's a way to do it. It's through preaching and teaching the gospel. But then there's something I believe this is where we're failing. Well, I think we're failing on the other two, but this is where, again, I don't have anything to say about what the objective is. God set that one. I don't have anything to say about the method of how we're going to reach that objective. Why? Because that's the way God said it, and that's the way I'm going to keep doing it. But here comes the third one I believe that you and I need to get a hold of. We have an objective. We have a method of how we're going to do it. And this is where I believe I fail, and I believe we as a church fail. Motivation. Do you see in those verses how the Lord is motivating? Look at it. He says, once again, he came and he spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He's given them a mission to do. And look, friend, this morning, a lot of times we look at this objective. We look at what God's called us to do. It's like, there's no way you can do that. Right. And you're right. There's no way that I can reach everybody in the world. But God didn't tell me to reach everybody in the world. He told me to reach the ones that I come into contact and try to teach them. And when they get saved, they'll reach out and teach somebody else. And it just spreads like a wildfire across our country and our world. But many times we're not motivated enough. And that thought of motivation is what speaks to you, to your soul and to your heart, to do something. What motivates you to do what you do? Look, it takes motivation to eat right. It takes motivation to exercise. It takes motivation to do a lot of things in life. But it also takes motivations to do the work that God's called us to do. You'll find motivation throughout Scripture where God has taken people and encouraging one another to keep going on for the cause of Christ. You ever felt like quitting? Everybody has. But is it right to quit? What does quitting do? Quitting means that you've let down your area. You've quit on God. You didn't quit on the preacher. You didn't quit on the church. You're quitting on what God's called you to do. And in doing that, you're jeopardizing not only souls, but you're jeopardizing the work of God. So I see, again, there's an objective. There's a way that we're supposed to do it. But then I see there's a great need for motivation. Some of you have read this book. And it's a great book. If you never read it, you ought to read it because this will help motivate you. Fox's Book of Martyrs. What's the book's name? Fox's Book of Martyrs. Anybody ever read it? Several of you have. I got books back there. It's been a long time since I read them. Miss Berger borrowed several of them and read them. I got books back there written by missionaries about how God worked in their life. Those things motivate me. Look at what God used these people to do. I read this and thought, wow. And again, one of the losses of motivation is we don't see a need to be doing anything. There's no urgency. My wife, most of you didn't hear, didn't see it. When I sat down a minute ago, I sat down on my key. And my keys have the alarm system to the church. And she says, you're sitting on your key, because she could hear the alarm beeping. Let me ask you this. I've seen it when I work public work. How many of you work public work and they have an alarm system? Fire alarm, whatever it is. Have you ever been working and the alarm system go off? What did you do? Most of you sat there and just kept on working, didn't you? Why? That thing goes off all the time. There's no emergency. I don't see no smoke. Don't we get used to those things? Well, guess what's happened to the church in the year 2016? We've got used to hearing that people die and go to hell. We've got used to preachers getting up and preaching that we need to be motivated to be faithful. We need to be motivated to read our Bibles. We need to be motivated to pray. We need to be motivated to keep our children grounded in truth. So we don't think there's a reason. But urgency. Listen to this. I can't imagine this. The year was 1555. A man by the name of Latimer and Ridley, I think is how you say his last name, they were getting ready to be burned at the stake for their teaching and preaching of the gospel. As they stood there tied to a stake with firewood around them and the fires beginning to burn, Latimer turned to his fellow pastor, and as legend has it, he said, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." You know why we're not seeing the gospel go forth in America today? Nobody wants to be burned at a stake. I don't want to be burned at a stake either. But here was two men, because they believed in what they believed and they trusted in what they trusted and they knew what God had called them to do. They stood and they preached and they taught the truth, and it brought them to a place that they were going to die. Many places throughout that book there, Fox's Book of Martyr, men and women we put on that stake, and all they had to do was say, "I renounce it." And they let them go. But they trusted and they knew the urgency of it. And here's two men that were getting ready to die. Can you imagine being burnt to death? I can't imagine. I remember reading stories in there of instances where the fire would begin to burn and go out. And they'd have to light the fire again and light it again. Slow death. How do men do that? How do women do that? Because they have a mission. They have an objective for their life. And here these men stood, and because that's the lot that God had given them. Well, preacher, that's not fair. In whose eyes? We hear people say it all the time. Boy, I hope when I get to heaven, I hear those great words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." How do you think you're going to get those words? It's not how much money I have in my bank. It's not what job I had or didn't have. It's not what car I'm driving. It's not what house I lived in. It's what you do for Christ. Motivation. The Bible says this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 13. It says, "For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for the cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." What motivates us? And again, I'm not one. Don't really want to be one. There's a lot of men and women in pulpits across our land that motivate people. I know preachers that motivate people to give, and they live in $6 million homes. You don't hear me say much, and I'm not patting me on the back. I don't want to motivate you to be a giver. I want to motivate you to be a cheerful giver. How do you be a cheerful giver? When you realize you're not giving to the preacher, you're giving to the Lord. But motivation. What is it that causes us to want to go do something? The love of God constraineth us. It's the fact that God would die for a man like me, that God would die for a world like this, that God would make a difference in my life, that I would want to go tell somebody else, "Hey, you need the Lord." But where's our motivation today? It's not motivation just to come to church. This would be the easy part. What motivates us to stick in the fight? What motivates us to keep going for God? What motivates us every day to get up and read our Bibles and pray and take gospel tracts and give them out? What motivates us to stay in the fight? I can't motivate you to do that. You can't motivate yourself to do that. But when you're walking with the Lord, He'll motivate us. Why? Because through His life. So this morning there is a mission, an objective. There's a way, and only one way we're going to reach that objective, and that's through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there ought to be some motivation. Again, I say that I can't motivate you, but our main motivation ought to be the Lord, and it couldn't be anybody else. But you know, what I said wasn't entirely true. We do need motivation from others. Brothers and sisters helping each other to stay in the fight, encouraging one another. Brother Windham gave me a, wherever Brother Windham is, he's somewhere, there he is. Brother Windham gave me a Civil War calendar. And I used to do a lot of Civil War stuff, reading stuff, especially Revolutionary even. Can you imagine? Now, it ain't like warfare today. You know, here they are marching face to face with the enemy. They have one shot. The officers trained these men to fight. And many times as they're marching towards their enemy, the officer would be saying stuff like this, "Hold! Hold! Hold! Hold the line! Hold!" You know why? Because there's a tendency in man to do two things. First of all, to shoot when he shouldn't have shot. The second thing is to run. We need to be encouraging one another to hold, hold, hold. Why? Because we have a tendency to want to run. Do we see an urgency this morning? Let me read you two more things and I'm done. You ever read the most people when I say this organization, the first thing you think of is that's a good place to buy cheap stuff. You ever heard of the Salvation Army? Most women's like, yeah, good place. For like Goodwill. Well, the Salvation Army used to, and they still to some degree, but it's not near what it used to be. That's what they used to be. They used to be an army fighting for souls. Listen to this. The story is told of General William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, and the day Queen Victoria of England asked to meet with him. Because she had heard of so many favorable things about his work in the slums, she asked him for the secret of his success. Now, here's the queen speaking to a nobody in the eyes of men. This is his reply. He says, "Your Majesty," he replied, "some men have a passion for money. Some people have a passion for things. I have a passion for people." I don't remember, don't know if you remember, but our very first directory, and it was in there, our very first directory had this inside of it. It's called "For I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel of Christ." This was found inside of a soldier's tent. I don't remember what year, way, 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 way ago. It says, "I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. This decision has been made. I am a disciple of His. I will not look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I do not have to be right, first, top, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith. Lean on His presence. Walk by patience. Live by prayer and labor by power. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I will not give up, shut up, let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go until he comes, give till I drop, preach until all know, and work until he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. Now that's what somebody just wrote that to be writing something. That's written by a man that I believe sold out for the cause of Christ. He finally realized what his mission in life was. He finally realized there was only one way to achieve the objective. And he found his motivation in the only place he could find it, in the way of God. Church, what are we doing? What's our mission? What's our goal? What's our objective? To reach the world. Preacher, we can't do that. You're already hurting yourself. You're living through the eyes of man, not through the eyes of God. I can do all things through Christ. We can reach the world. Why do we look to the world first, though? You know how I'm going to reach the world? By reaching my neighbor. Don't look at all the people. Look at this one. I don't know how many hunters I got in here this morning. I'm not the greatest of shots anyway. Anybody ever dove hunt? This ain't a trick question. Now you would think, let's just ponder this moment. I'm done. You've got would that be a covey? I don't know what the right word would be. You got this big group of birds, a flock, that's the word. You got a flock of 50 birds that's flying over your head. You would think that if I pulled a gun up and shot in amongst all that, you'd hit one. Wouldn't you think that? Guess what? You don't. You have to pick one out and aim at that one to kill that one. Same thing in our work. Same thing in our mission. Same thing in our objective. The world is our working area. We're going to reach them one at a time. You live beside them. You work beside them. It's the reason we send missionaries. So they can go tell the other ones. Very simple. But are we doing it? Let's stand together this morning.